It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I so appreciate all of you joining us. You're each treasured, valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you were made for this moment. Live with intention. And here we are. This is our New Year's Eve broadcast. In studio with me is my friend, great author, and that is Alan Thomas. Great to have you here.
Great to be here, Kim. Thanks for having me.
And the piece that you've done is The Encouraging End to 2021. And when I gave that title to Steve, I heard him go, what?
There is one?
But there is. And so we're going to talk about that throughout the show. I really appreciate that. But also, I wanted to mention, always, I get to work with really great people. And that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, and Alan Thomas, Jen Hewlin is coming on the team, and she's going to be our partnership sponsorship liaison, and I am really excited about that. So I guess I would say that's a very encouraging end to 2021 for us.
Definitely, and I've seen she's hit the ground running already, so
yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, she really has, so excited about that. But be sure and check out the website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. So, producer Steve, you can well imagine when I mention emails what my New Year's resolution is.
Well, I think in a past show, you admitted that you were a little bit behind, and I'm just encouraging you to not be like Hillary Clinton and delete them all.
No.
Do something productive.
I will. I will be proactive on that. And I so appreciate all of you. And I don't know. I could maybe use a couple more hours in the day, Alan Thomas.
Couldn't we all, though? I mean, really? It always goes so fast.
Do you remember there was an ad about time? I can't remember who it was for. And you would see people drive up, like to drive up, and they'd say, I'd like 1 hour, please. And that's kind of the way 2021 has been.
You know, I also kind of remember that Twilight Zone episode, if you know, the old Twilight Zone, where the guy was in the bomb shelter and a bomb goes off and he loves reading and he finds the library and all the books are fine and he stacks them up by year, what all he's going to read, and then he bends down to get his first book and the glasses break and he can't read anything.
Oh.
And it's just, it kind of felt like sometimes through 2021, that's kind of how it was. It's like, oh man, like what am I going to do now? How am I going to survive any of this? And, you know, I always like starting the new year with a little bit of hope. So.
And Alan, with that, I thought for our quote for today, I was looking for different hope quotes, and I found Emily Dickinson. And she was an American poet, little known during her life. She has since become regarded as one of the most important figures in American poetry. She was born in Amherst, Massachusetts, to a very prominent family. She was born in 1830. She died in 1886. And this is what she said. She said, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all." And with the last couple of years that we've gone through, with the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, to if you don't get the jab, you don't have your job, and all this fear. And here she lived back in the mid-1800s, and this is what she said. So there's nothing new. We just need to reclaim these things, this hope. And so I really appreciate the piece that you've written. What do you think about this quote? And then I'm going to ask you about that, Steve.
You know, I wish I had a way with words like she did. You know, you can just feel that quote. You can feel the hope that she talks about. And, you know, I don't get anywhere near that. And you know, what those writers and poets and literary people can do and evoke emotion is just amazing and very thoughtful.
Well, and it seems like, Steve, I'm going to read it again here. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. I think that anytime I hear that word, the soul, I really think of, you know, our being on that. And it just evokes a lot of emotion with me as well, Steve.
Human nature is such a strange thing. You know, every time we think we have it figured out, we find out how wrong we are. And, you know, I want to have hope. I want to be that hopeful person. But it takes a beating with me sometimes.
Well, and sometimes it's really a choice. It seems, Alan Thomas, that I was doing some reading on Abraham Lincoln, and he did not have an easy life. As a child, he would be considered extremely disadvantaged. The fact that his father abandoned him and his little sister for several months in the middle of either Kentucky or Illinois winter, and they had to survive, is pretty remarkable. But there was, within him, I remember something that's almost like he said, you have to make a conscious choice for hope sometimes, I think.
And that's the amazing thing about the human spirit is you have people that just give up. You have people that turn to a life of crime or surrender to their circumstances. And then you have people that rise above and choose to make that conscious effort, that choose to go above and beyond. And that's what we love about those stories. You know, that's why we love underdog stories in sports, is because it gives you that, you know what, we can do better. We can be better. We don't have to just be in the life that we have right now. We can really shape who and what we want to be. And that's the amazing aspect of human nature. And we've always been like that. You know, you can see those stories going back throughout ancient texts. You know, all of the Bible has stories about that. And it really is inspiring. And it's well worth the study of history to look at stories like that to inspire you.
Well, and as we look at America and our education system, and we continue to see in some of our public schools, some of the private schools as well, CRT, like critical race theory, sexualizing our children through a sex ed education. Instead of, there's only a certain amount of time. My dad always said, you have 24 hours in a day, and you choose how you spend those, and it's your responsibility, and you reap the consequences, the benefits of that. So there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And if they're teaching CRT and sexualizing our kids instead of Emily Dickinson, then we can see that we've got kids that are kind of
surrendering to their circumstances.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You're teaching kids that, you know, if you're white, you're bad. If you're black, you're a victim. Like, you know, your grandparents were likely slaves. You have this tough life because of white supremacy, and if you're white, well, you're responsible for every wrongdoing that a white person has ever done. And we're teaching our kids hopelessness. We're teaching our kids to be a victim of their circumstance, of things that they can't control. You know, I'm not sure about you, but when I didn't get to choose my parents, I didn't get to choose what country I was born in. Those things were done outside of my control. So why should I be responsible for aspects of me that I can't control, as opposed to teaching them Emily Dickinson and saying, listen, you're responsible for your soul. You're responsible for your character. You're responsible for your choices, and teaching them to be moral and virtuous and not just surrendering to the circumstances that they were born in.
Well, and again, that is empowering our kids. That used to be what education was, the classical liberal education in America. And as we're going to be going through this, though, I know the veil is coming off, and that's a bit of what you're talking about in this piece. And it's kind of messy. You know, actually, life can be kind of messy, but it's great to have you in studio, Alan, for this New Year's Eve broadcast. And before we go to break, though, I get to work with a lot of great sponsors, and Hooters Restaurants is just one of those sponsors. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they are keeping the line on their burger special. They have $10 burger specials, and they're keeping the line on that, even though we have inflation like crazy right now. So be sure and check out my great partners there, Hooters Restaurants. And one of those great partners is on the line with me, and that is Steve Cruz. He is a co-owner of 3 Points Financial with Mary Alpers. And we're here. I cannot believe this is New Year's Eve. 2022 is right on the horizon. Steve Cruz, what should people know on this New Year's Eve?
Yeah, hi, Kim. So last week I talked about trying to get financially organized. And this week I'm talking about a little bit about, I think, also a good time of the year to review cash flow. So businesses at the end of the year, they take stock of income and expenses, goals, they budget the next year, and households should really do the same. So, you know, do you know what you spend each month and each year? So our website www.3pointsfinancial.com, has a one-page cash flow spending plan spreadsheet, and that's 3pointsfinancial.com, and then there's a resources tab, and then you can download the cash flow spreadsheet, and it's very straightforward. You start with your fixed monthly or semi-annual expenses, you know, rent, mortgage, car payments, utilities, food, things like that. Take a look at your credit card statement the last 12 months, kind of add up the full year's expenses there. Take a look at, you know, cash disbursements on the ATM. And then there's a section at the bottom of the spreadsheet for discretionary expenses, you know, travel, fun, recreation, activities, things like that. You have a little more flexibility in how much you spend there. And then once you have all these expenses and you got through the spreadsheet, compare this to your total income. If you have funds left over, great. If not, then you got to, you know, go back through and take a look at that. And cash flow is really fundamental. It determines when you can become financially independent, and it also determines how much you can save. So it's really important, and it's something that we get a good handle on with our clients. So definitely, it's a good time of year. Take a look at your cash flow. Use the tool, 3pointsfinancial.com, the resources tab, and hopefully it's helpful for people.
You know, Steve, I love what you and Mary do to set people up for financial success. And it's not just the money in the bank at 3 Points Financial. It's really the kind of the whole person. And I just love what you are doing. I'm so grateful, 2021, that you've become new partners of the show. And I wish you all kinds of success and prosperity and joy and peace and health and wealth in 2022. And we will talk to you very soon, Steve Cruz.
All right, thanks. Happy New Year, Kim.
Thanks so much, and we'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, government-induced inflation. Alan Thomas, this government-induced inflation, I've been talking to a number of young couples, young families, and this government-induced inflation can get a little hopelessness in that, because what do you do about it, right?
Right. I mean, there's nothing you can do, and we certainly have been feeling the effects of it as well. And man, it's a shame when you buy $200 worth of groceries and you feel like a year ago it was $100 mm-hmm. worth of groceries, and it makes you prioritize. And it is a shame, because, you know, I got a bonus here at the end of the year, and it's like, man, even with that bonus, I'm not going to make up for what I lost through inflation.
And you haven't lived through that. It's called stagflation. But it's government policies that have done that. And that is why, and again, we'll talk about it in the segments 3 and 4, is that, and you mentioned you can't do anything about it right there at when you're paying it. But we can do something about it. We look back at Jimmy Carter, and inflation was out of control. Ronald Reagan comes in and puts in good public policy, and things turn around. So there is hope on that, Alan Thomas.
There is hope, and it comes with education, right? It comes with, you know, people avoid learning about the Fed and what they're actually doing, and just go, oh, that's a huge thing. I don't think we want to tackle. I've heard it's for good, right? Like the Fed mm-hmm. is supposed to be there for good, but instead they're just dumping trillions of dollars in our economy. And surprise mm-hmm. of all surprises to those of us that pay attention to this, inflation's rising. So, you know, we really need to get out there and educate people on when they say things like, man, I can't believe how expensive this is. Well, funny you should say that. Do you want to learn about the Fed? You know, we need to use those conversations.
Not just the Fed. This Congress and this president have actually been passing legislation that has been printing all of this money. And so our hope is in changing elections. And as we look forward to 2022, a lot of people have woken up. They have awakened. They have not woken up, Steve. They have awakened.
Well, I'm thinking to add into that insult to injury, we have the Senate minority leader, Mitch McConnell, who just goes right along and says, oh, yeah, we'll extend or raise the debt ceiling.
That guy needs to be primaried.
Oh, he needs to be out of there.
He does. And that's another thing I'm very, very encouraged about, though, is we have really seen, I think, throughout 2021, people's true colors. And that's why we have a lot of work to do in 2022. We need to elect conservatives. And when we use the word conservative, which has been demonized for over 100 years, as people that want to tell you what you can and cannot do, guess what? We have now seen that through the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, to get the jab, to keep your job, that it's really been the radical activist leftist elites that want to tell you how to live your life.
And then your President Brandon, he just blurted out the other day, speaking of the other side, he said, they have no ideas. It's like, oh, really?
Excuse me. How about...
They're just against everything. They have no ideas, I think is what he said.
Took my breath away. How about lower taxes, lower rules, or get rid of rules, regulations, or limit those?
If he could stay awake long enough, you might be able to have a discussion.
Alan, what do you think about that?
You know, I think they're seeing the writing on the wall. You know, how many Democrats are not seeking re-election in 2022? You know, this Biden administration is deeply unpopular in only the first year and a half. I mean, it's truly amazing what he's been able to do to just absolutely tank public confidence in their policies and in their administration.
Well, and this isn't just the Biden administration. This has been a long time in coming. And I really think that it started back in the 80s and the 90s. And there's been a concerted effort to take control of the judiciary. So when Trump comes in and actually appoints a number of federal judges, we're in this really interesting, messy time right now, though, Alan.
Yeah, and you're right. I think we're just finally seeing what happens when they can grab control of the reins and actually steer. You know, they've tried pushing these. They've pushed the Overton window, and now they're like, oh, we're in control. We're just going to shove this down your throat, and you're going to have to deal with it. And people are seeing that. And the veil, like you said, is being lifted, and they're seeing it, and they're not happy with it.
You know, Kim, to Alan's point, I sent you recently a great political cartoon. What do we call those things where you have the elephant and the donkey representing the party's caricatures?
Yes.
All right, here's Biden. He's handcuffed to the Democratic donkey. They're both already underwater. They both have a big cement block on their feet. They're obviously going down. And Biden's shaking his fist at the boat above them that's on the surface of the water, saying, you guys are, you know, speaking to the Republicans, you guys are in big trouble now.
True. Let's unpack that just a little bit more, though, regarding Republicans. And that is another thing. When I was serving on city council, 2012 to 2016 in Lone Tree, I took it if people had an R behind their name that they were interested in what I thought was the Republican platform, and that is basically government's limited. They stay out of people's lives, and they're just for a purpose. And that these people really adhered to this vision of America, that we're all created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You take a look at Mitch McConnell and some of these other Republicans that have been in power for so long, they don't adhere to those principles. And I used to think that those people back in Washington were smarter than all of us. They think we're smarter than all of us. I realize they're not. And these people need to be primaried. We need to make sure that we are electing Americans that will preserve and protect the American idea.
You know, Kim, I like the way you said it, because they need to be primaried, right? You're not saying that they don't need to be voted back in, but we need to primary them. If they come out of the primary, absolutely. I think Mitch McConnell is a better option than whatever Democrat runs against him in the main election. But I do hope these Republicans do start to feel this pressure, and if they don't change, that primary challengers come up and say, no, you know, you've been there that long, and look how our country has gone. I have new ideas. I'm a new face. I'm going to stand for parents. I'm going to stand for their rights. I'm going to stand up for small businesses and cutting regulations and taxes and for the proper role of government. And hopefully we do primary them. But I always caution against people that say, I'm not going to vote for Mitch McConnell no matter what. It's like, no, he is the better option than a Democrat, albeit barely, you know, being a part of the deep state. But, you know, the primary is the right way to go about it. And I hope people are encouraged and emboldened to actually run, to say, you know what, I may be a common citizen, but maybe I should run. Maybe I should try and beat some of these political guys, because I know what it feels like to own a small business. I know what it's like to actually live through some of this, and they're in their bubbles in Washington, D.C.
Well, Alan, that's how American was founded. It was farmers and merchants. And they, and if when you go through the usurpations in the Declaration of Independence that they wrote, they had the good manners to say to the world, we're going to break up with King George and Britain, and these are the reasons why. There's a lot of similarities with what's going on with the elitists in Washington now.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. If you are going to primary them, list those things. You know, list the things that common everyday Americans are feeling, because we can all resonate with that. You know, sometimes it's a little different to say, you know, property rights and business rights. It's a lot different to say, listen, I can't even pay my employees what they're worth because inflation has gone up 6.5%, and hot, you know, a bucket of wings has now doubled in price. And instead of giving that money back to my employees, I just have to pay for the food and hope that I stay afloat. You know, saying some of these things as opposed to lower taxes and saying, you know what, I wish this Christmas I could have bought more gifts for my kid. You know, saying those things, making it real, as opposed to some of these pie in the sky ideas, which are good to talk about, but make it real for these people. And I think you could definitely make a good challenge towards a lot of these very rhino-ish Republicans.
Right. And this is really, I think this is a very defining moment for America, this 2022 election. There's a lot of things that are going to be going on. And as we look at 2022, I'm really encouraged about all this.
Go.
And as you all know, we are an independent voice. And with that, I get to work with a lot of great partners. And another one of those great partners of mine is Castlegate Knife and Tool, family-owned business located in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal and Linnea Van Herke are the owners. It's a family-owned business. And Hal Van Herke, Castlegate Knife and Tool, I can't believe 2021 is over. 2022 is on the horizon. As you look back at 2021, what's your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is it went by very quickly. 2020 seemed to drag on forever, but 2021 has gone by very fast for me and for everybody I know. But you know, family-wise, it was and friend-wise, it was a great year. We lost a few people to COVID and to other things, like as you get older, you do, and so that was unfortunate. But overall, it was a great year, and business-wise, we've grown substantially. We've almost doubled in size since the beginning of the year. And we have a great team that is continuing to make that happen every month. And more importantly, we have great customers that have supported us through COVID, supported us this year, and continue to come back and shop with us and help us grow. So we have a lot to be thankful for this year. It's been a great year for us, and looking forward to a lot more next year as well.
And 2022, what's your thoughts about that?
You know, from a big picture perspective, my thought about that is that 2022 is going to be a year where the year is going to be focus. It's going to be the word for the year. I wish I could remember what I said the word for this year was going to be back a year ago, but I can't remember. But I think this year is going to be focus. I think people are going to need to pay attention to what's going on around them. And I think there's not going to be any such thing as just investing your money and letting it ride. You're going to have to pay attention to your investments. You're going to have to pay attention to your job and pay attention to those around you, pay attention to your community, and be focused on what you're doing. And it strikes me as one of those years where the people who have their nose to the grindstone and are working and have their act together are going to do very well. And those that are kind of scattered out all over the place and not paying attention are going to have a difficult year. But that's just, for some reason, that's kind of my gut feeling on it. Looking forward to it. Expect great things. But I think it's going to be a dynamic year full of surprises.
I think you're right, Hal Van Herky. And I'm looking forward to it. As you mentioned, I'm with hope and realizing there's challenges. And I'm excited about 2022. I so appreciate your partnership with both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And Hal, I wish you and yours, you, Linnea, and your family and everybody at Castlegate, a very happy new year, a prosperity, peace, joy, health, wealth, all of those things. And 2022, we're going to roll up our sleeves and continue to work on these issues. And thank you so much. So wish you a very happy new year.
Happy new year to you too.
And we'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate it. This is our New Year's Eve broadcast. And before we get into this, I'm going to ask you, Alan, and also you, Steve, if you have some New Year's resolutions as we're going into 2022. And then we'll talk about your op-ed, The Encouraging End to 2021. So, Alan Thomas, any New Year's resolutions?
So, you know, Kim, I started to do something a little different this year. I got started on my New Year's resolutions a little early. Instead of waiting for January 1st to start getting in the habit of working out, I've started early. But, you know, the one you may like more is I'm resolving to get the articles into you earlier than the night before you're putting the newsletter out. So,
well, you know what? You and I are birds of a feather on that one. So we both, I think, do well under pressure.
Definitely. And you know, I wish I could say Keelan's not going to hear this, but she's going to hear it and stick me to that as well as my editor of those beforehand.
I know. And she's always been one that always did things.
Oh, she would have it done the day after we do the show. She'd have the next month's already done and written. So,
and I have such great respect for people that do that.
Oh, me too. But I just need that pressure. I need the, you know, the fire to really be underneath me to get things done.
I understand. How about you, producer Steve? Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I'm going to stick to my, when we talked about this before we started the show today, I'm too old for that kind of stuff, but I think I have something better to say. Maybe I'm going to push more for the health aspects of things, only because I'm at that stage of life where you really need to maybe just pay more attention and, you know, don't get it, let anything get started that really shouldn't be there.
Okay. Do you take your vitamins?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's good. That was a New Year's resolution for me last year, and I've been pretty good at that. I used to not be very good at that, but I'm better on that. But yes, I do think we all do need to pay more attention to our health, working out. That's another one of my resolutions is try to do some kind of cardio every day. So I'll work on that. My emails, those are my two big things, Alan.
Well, there you go. And you know, the thing I always do kind of with resolutions is to take stock and look back, you know, what worked last year? Which ones did I keep? Which ones I didn't? Mm-hmm. Why did I do that? And that's kind of some of the basis for this article. When you asked me to write an article for New Year's, it is, you know, when you're building on those habits, when you're building on those resolutions, it's easier to take stock of what you've done well to help guide you into the new year. And that's what this article was really intended to do, was to reflect back on 2021 and see where we've gone right as a country and some of those good habits that we've started to form. That way we could continue to push ourselves into 2022.
Well, 2021 started in the middle of this whole COVID thing. And initially, the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, we didn't know what we were dealing with. I could understand that. I think most businesses, most people could get through that. But my gosh, when it came in, the government was picking winners and losers. This business is essential. This one isn't. All the fear around COVID and all that happened with that, I think people can look back and can kind of get down about that. So this is great how you have kind of shifted the narrative on this. So where do you want to go with this, Alan?
Well, I think we've started talking about some of the culture changes that have been encouraging. You know, one of the main things being parents kind of opening up, seeing what's happening with the education of their children. You know, they were forced to sit inside the homes and listen to some of these crazy, inane and perverse things being taught to their children. And they took a stand. You know, the last elections and the way school boards across the country were booted out and said, no, you aren't all powerful. You aren't the ones that dictate what's going to be taught to our kids. We're the parents. You know, you're supposed to be listening to us. And parents taking a stand, and you know, that crossed political lines. And that was very encouraging to see, very encouraging that, you know, maybe when the right said they were indoctrinating our kids, we weren't total conspiracy theorists.
We didn't know what it was. Yeah.
Right.
It's not a conspiracy if it's true.
Exactly. But, you know, that's what the left kept saying, you know, oh, that's conspiracy theory. Oh, CRT's truth. And we kicked back against that. And parents in a big way, you know, even the governor's race in Virginia was predominantly won on school choice and on school curriculum, which was amazing to see. The other very encouraging, the other flip side of that coin was people absolutely tuning out CNN and some of those legacy media. Mm-hmm. I mean, the polling numbers that have been coming in lately are horrendous. And, you know, CNN is just utterly tanking. Their anchors are dropping like flies. We can see the corruption within them. And people in large part are starting to just completely abandon, again, conspiracy theories, these indoctrination media centers and the legacy media, because we're seeing them for what they are. They're not telling us truth. They're not telling us news. They're trying to tell us what they want to tell us and how we should live our lives. So that culture shift has also been very encouraging. And one of the last ones that I talk about in the article with culture kind of crossed all three of the different spectrums, states' rights, things that are going on in the courts, and then culture. And that's to do with abortion and the shift that we've seen with that. I saw a poll the other week, for the first time, there's a plurality of Americans that believe the pro-life movement might be right, that they're taking more pro-life stances. And we've seen this with the states, the heartbeat bills, you know, mm-hmm. that's going to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court now has an opportunity, and it's actually kind of encouraging. There's a better opportunity than we've ever had of actually overturning that. But to me, that speaks more to a culture change in the respect of life, that people are beginning to see, oh, there is a heartbeat. Maybe that is life. Maybe we should respect the sanctity of life. Maybe we should respect the fact that if it is a human being, that this human being is due certain unalienable rights. And that's a good core civic virtue. And to see the country shift and start to gain some of that virtue, some of that morality back, is very encouraging going into the new year.
Alan, it's so interesting because I've watched this in our country and how Roe v. Wade and women, young girls, I've been very concerned about the education of our young girls, that basically they've kind of said you don't need a man. And of course, we've seen the demonization of the white male, white straight male, but actually not just white straight males. Almost all straight males have really been demonized. And this has been, I think, an assault on the identity of our society and also the identity of individuals. But there's been this big lie that has been taught to many young women, and that is you don't need a man, that a child is actually a burden instead of a blessing. And you and I both know that children, I mean, there are challenging days. That just occurs. But they are a tremendous blessing, not only on an individual level, but also on a societal level. And so a society that doesn't value their children or doesn't value their life, or doesn't value life, is not a society that I think can survive. And that's why we're really at a defining moment for America right now.
We are. I mean, we're fighting for the soul of America, for the future of what America can be, and in many different ways. You know, the other aspect of Roe v. Wade was the absolute way the court took away states' rights, the state's ability to say, you know what, the federal government's not allowed to make a choice on this because it's not enumerated in the Constitution. So the state has the ability to be this laboratory to try new things out and try to do things, as opposed to having a federal top-down, every state shall do this. And that's the other encouraging aspect of some of what's gone on in 2021, is states have, by and large, started to buck the federal government and say, no, you know what, President Biden, we're not going to do a mask mandate. We're not going to do a vaccination mandate. And oh, by the way, every business, every person that wants to live their life, that wants to be free, come to our state. And we're seeing that in large mm-hmm. part. I mean, businesses are abandoning California like it's a sinking ship.
I think they lost 1 million people within a certain time frame. I can't remember what it is, but
yeah.
And what a beautiful state. I mean, come on.
It is. How can you mess that up? You got the beachfront property. You have wine country. You have all of this. You have big tech. I mean, the tech companies that come out of California, you have Hollywood. Why do you not want to be there? And by and large, people are just abandoning it.
I know.
Big companies are leaving California for Florida, for Nashville, for Texas, because surprise of all surprises, when you tax them at 80%, 50%, they don't want to be there.
No matter whether or not they're Democrat or Republican, I do hope these people that are moving from California to these red states vote for people that keep government limited, that they don't vote for those that had those very terrible policies.
And we need to make that distinction, right? We need to draw the fact that, hey, you know, the sheriff in Los Angeles or San Diego was telling people not to go out on Black Friday because the gangs are doing smash and grabs. Is that where you really want to live, where you're scared to shop? Like, we need to draw those distinctions that, hey, this isn't happening in Florida. This isn't happening in Texas. We care about who you are, and we believe that your person and your property is valuable, and that they're yours, and that they should be protected, and that you deserve that public safety. You deserve to be able to walk down the street not wondering what you're going to step into or what right. might be littering the street. I mean, I can't imagine with my little one-year-old walking down the street in LA and wondering if there's needles that he could accidentally grab or fall into. I mean,
it's
a terrible thought, but we need to draw those distinctions. And by and large, people are, because they're abandoning, you know, the 2020 census showed they're leaving Illinois in droves, New York, Pennsylvania, California, all lost congressional seats. Texas picked up two. Florida picked up some. You know, Colorado obviously picked up one. And I still say that we as a state are starting to turn around a little bit. You know, we've always had that large independent voice. But we're starting to see, especially here in Colorado. I mean, you look at Denver compared to Douglas County, and you see what's going on with what Mayor Hancock has done versus people are leaving Denver County to come down to these free counties like El Paso and Douglas, because they're just seeing what's going on around them. And when you're scared to even walk down downtown because of everything that's going on, it's sad. It really is sad, and it's scary.
Well, and during the Christmas season, I had three different events downtown, and I really had to plan, where am I going to park? I didn't take my regular purse. I just took a credit card and my ID and some cash and put it in a little bag that I could hold, because I was very concerned. And it used to not be like that. I used to not have to worry about that. And so one of the events was at Larimer Square. I met somebody there. It was Deadsville, and it's because of public policy it's Deadsville. I was at a place then in Douglas County. It was several places hopping, And if people don't want freedom, fine, go ahead and go to Denver. But if you want freedom and seeing people together, laughing, enjoying themselves, I mean, that's part of life. It's great.
It is. And you know, the same thing happened with my wife. You know, she was going to something, and for the first time ever, they coordinated so they could park next to each other. That way they were walking to and from this at the same time. And Keelan used to work down at the Capitol, you know, for several years. And I never worried about her safety while she was walking to and from. And, you know, sometimes they go super late. Uh-huh. You know, the politicians, they'll get bloviating or you get public testimony that goes super late. And I never once worried about her safety. But for the first time, I was worried that even though she was meeting up with her friend, that both of them might be a mm-hmm. little bit iffy, and that mm-hmm. I wanted them to park close to the venue and park together so that they're all walking together. And you're exactly right. And that's what's amazing about having these laboratories of freedom is, you know, Douglas County very publicly broke up with its public health department over this and said, no, we know the science. Mm-hmm. You guys are just trying to control. So we're going to be this little laboratory of freedom. And you're right. I mean, how many businesses have shuttered and closed in Denver? It's incredibly sad for those businesses. But at the same point in time, people are starting to vote with their wallet and vote with their feet. And that's very encouraging to see people say, no, I'm not going to hand you my vaccination card. I'm not going to give in to this public pressure that this business is going to make me. I'm going to go to the other business that's going to be free. You know, In-N-Out is a great example. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, nope, we're not going to require vax mandates. So they shut down stores in California. You can't tell me In-N-Out's not popular and is not turning an insane profit. But they're opening up in these other places and they're saying, you know what? If you want to force us to do those things, we're going to move. We're going to leave. You're not going to get the benefit of our tax dollars. And they're making a stand. And that's another thing that's been very encouraging in 2021 is seeing the people that are willing to stand for freedom.
And there's more and more of them, more and more. So fascinating, just fascinating, and excited to look into 2022 on this. In studio with me is Alan Thomas, and he's written a really important piece, and it is it's titled The Encouraging End to 2021. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. One of the things I want to talk about is this term states' rights, and because somebody challenged me on do states have rights. So let's talk about that when we come back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate it. We are an independent voice. And we come to you because I have great partners. And another one of those great partners is Kirsch Insurance Group. And they are actually sponsors of both the shows, The Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. They are specialists in the Medicare arena. And Alan Thomas, I find this whole Medicare thing crazy, that the government says you can do certain things within a certain time frame, and if you miss that, then you're out of luck. But yet you, if you have this plan, then there's a new time. Tell you what, you need a specialist to help people get through that.
You definitely do, or you hope you have a qualifying medical event, like having a kid or something, to change your insurance. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And that's why Kirsch Insurance Group, Medicare specialists, they work with a lot of different carriers here in Colorado, and they're the folks that can really help you navigate through all this. So be sure and check out Kirsch Insurance Group. Their website is ikirsch.com. That's ikirsch.com, and they can certainly help you out with that. Alan Thomas, this is our New Year's Eve broadcast, and of course, we wish a great 2022. to all of you. And I wish you peace and prosperity and joy and health and wealth and all of those things. So I wanted to make sure that I got that out there for everyone. But you mentioned the term states' rights. And I would think about the 10th Amendment, and I'd say states' rights. And somebody actually challenged me, and they said states don't have rights. It would be state sovereignty. How would you respond to that?
That's interesting. Wordsmithing, I'd be interested to hear what the argument is. But, you know, the states definitely have the power, at the very least, that the federal government doesn't have. The 10th Amendment is very clear that the federal government only has the power that's enumerated in the Constitution, and everything else is left up to the states. You know, the states are allowed to enact laws that the federal government can't. The states have power that the federal government doesn't, because the flip side of that is each state does have its own sort of ruling constitution or governing document. So, you know, as far as the courts are concerned, it's not this blanket, the state has the power to do whatever it wants. It is controlled by the people through the constitutions, that the state constitutions. But there absolutely is this ability for states to enact different laws. And that's how the founding fathers wanted it. Mm-hmm. They wanted this ability for people to say, to vote with their feet and to say, you know what, this, what New Hampshire is doing is absolutely crazy. What Virginia is doing makes a little bit more sense. So I'm going to move to this different state because of their policies, because of the rules and politics that's going on in there. So there was absolutely this idea that states would have different, like I said, laboratories of freedom, that they could test out different things and see how it works. And then the idea was that states, if something worked for a state, they would tell other states about it, or people would move to other states and say, hey, look at this amazing thing that we did. It's working great. It's working fantastic. And they'd bring that to other states.
Mm-hmm. And that is how it was supposed to be. And what happened then with the federal government, and I think a lot of this happened with the income tax amendment, where the federal government started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then a state like California that had more representatives, then they could make bad decisions over here in California with policy and with spending money. And then they run to the federal government and say, hey, we'd like more money because we made these mistakes. So the other states, people in those states would have to pay that, or the federal government's borrowing it from our children. It was never supposed to be that way. If California made bad decisions, California was supposed to be responsible for those, because then people would leave California. California then would hopefully say, wait a minute, we need to institute policies that are more competitive. And it was really what the founders thought, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful. And you know, the other half of that is activist judges. You know, the Supreme Court has eroded states' rights significantly by giving a lot of power to the federal government through different decisions. And that's the other aspect that's very encouraging about the Supreme Court taking up Roe v. Wade, is if they buck Supreme Court precedent, what other things can we actually bring up to try and get the states' rights back? What other decisions can we bring in front of the Supreme Court, if they're willing and able to do it, to bring some of those rights back to the people? You know, Justice Thomas has brought up several times, you know, people are safe in their rights, but they're not safe in their own homes because of, you know, the government's power to just grab your home in the interest of public interest, even though they're going to put a development in.
Yeah.
Right. So what other, you know, this Supreme Court could get very fascinating. And if they're willing to buck Supreme Court precedent, what other precedents can we get rid of? Can we get rid of qualified immunity? This whole thing that was literally came up whole cloth from the Supreme Court. Can we get rid of?
And I encourage people to check out your op-ed on that, because qualified immunity, you really have a unique take on that. So I would recommend people check that out at KimMunson.com.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea of what other things has the court just invented? What other rights has the Supreme Court invented through these different cases that this Supreme Court could potentially take down and give those rights back to we the people, give those rights back to the states, and allow us to get away from this massive centralized government that we have right now?
So a couple of things. And first of all, Colorado, it was interesting when they bucked the federal government and Colorado approved marijuana, legal marijuana. And a lot of people hate that decision, but it is really interesting to have Colorado buck the federal government on that. What's your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. It's interesting, you know, whether or not I voted for it or not, you know, definitely not. But at the same time, it was nice to see the state say, you know what, no, we're going to do this. And federal government, what are you going to do? You know, and it's interesting, too. Texas right now is basically saying, you know, Joe Biden, you're not doing anything to protect the sovereignty of our land and our citizens. And, you know,
At the border,
they're coming across the border at unprecedented rates. And Texas is saying, you know what, we're going to build our own wall. Mm-hmm. You know what, you're not doing your job. We're going to do your job for you. You know, Florida doing the same thing. They're saying, you know what, you're not doing your job. We're just going to do it for you. We're going to say, you know what, no, any vaccine mandate that the federal government passes down isn't valid here in Florida. So it's nice seeing these states saying, you know what, we're going to do what we're going to do and challenge the federal government to come after them.
Well, and it is, again, it's very encouraging. It's super interesting. But I want to go back to states' rights and abortion, because there are those that just kind of throw up their hands and they say, oh, that should be a states' rights issue. But states don't have the right to have people take other people's lives, right? So when you look at life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, states' rights does not supersede that.
Absolutely, and I totally agree. I just the question then becomes, where's the Overton window at? You know,
explain the Overton window to folks.
The Overton window is really kind of, where is culture at? You know, are you going to push too far? If you push an idea that's outside the Overton window, it's not going to get public support. You know, we saw that in Douglas County when they tried to do a voucher system. You know, Douglas County in large part wasn't ready for that idea. It was outside the Overton window. So the public pushed back on them and they voted all those school board members out. So with abortion, while I agree totally with you that we should be respecting life, that it's not a states' rights issue, at the same time, it might be a little bit better if we start with states' rights and start to allow states to enact their own abortion laws and then start to move backwards from that and start to say, you know what, we're protecting life here in Alabama, we're protecting life here in Texas and Florida. And those people can go to other states and start to say, you know what, we need to protect life in Pennsylvania. We need to protect life in New York. And hopefully we can get to a point where people appreciate the science behind an actual human life. But on one hand, I'm like, yes, I absolutely agree with you. On the other hand, whatever moves us towards that end goal of protecting the life of this baby, I'm completely for. So even if it's small baby steps, I'm absolutely for doing those.
Okay. That's very interesting. Of course, there are those that take a very hard line, if you will, that that abortion should not be a states' rights issue, that it's really a human issue. But to your point, sometimes if you go all in and no change is made, then you still have all these babies being aborted instead of these steps to try to get to. And again, you're engaging in this narrative.
I don't disagree that some people shouldn't go all in. I mean, that's how you push the Overton window, is you have people that propose these ideas that are way outside public, you know, peer pressure that, mm-hmm. that, you know, the public isn't quite ready for, but we push them that way. So if you're all in on it, stay all in on it. I'm not telling you to take a step back, but I am saying that if we do want to move towards that end goal, let's take steps in that direction. Let's slowly turn the boat and start pointing towards that final destination. So don't be mad at us who are trying to help move the boat and guide it towards where you want it. We may want that final destination too. We're just getting there in slow steps.
Which and that brings up Hamilton and Jefferson. You and I have both been taking classes on that. And Hamilton and Jefferson looked at things differently. Hamilton, I think, really wanted the federal government to have more power. Jefferson was very concerned about what could happen. Right now, I see Jefferson's concerns are very, very yeah. valid. But yet, I feel that they ultimately had a lot of the same goals. And I think people need to realize that we need to make sure that we have the same goals.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of the infighting that Republicans and libertarians and freedom-minded people have are over means and methods. You know, we all agree, you know, a lot of times we agree on what the end goal is. We agree in a principle. We may disagree on the application of that principle. Uh-huh. You know, I've had lots of libertarian people make very principled arguments against abortion. And I see the way that they're making that
against
argument.
Or for.
For abortion.
For abortion, okay.
You know, like for pro-choice. And I've seen and understand their arguments. And so it's not the principle that I'm arguing for. It's the means and methods that we're going to use to get there. So my encouragement going into 2022, this new election cycle, just because you disagree with somebody's means and methods doesn't mean that you don't disagree on the end goal, you know?
Or you don't agree, that you agree on the end goal.
That you agree. Mm-hmm. And that you know, we want to encourage freedom, that we want to push towards a more free society. And even if one person doesn't push as hard as you do, doesn't make them a rhino necessarily, doesn't make them a terrible person, doesn't mean that you need to have a vendetta against them and make sure they don't get elected at all. Because again, like we talked about earlier with Mitch McConnell, you know, a lot of these people are a lot better options than the other option. And I know I hate kind of saying that. I hate saying what's the worst of two evils. But at the same time, we've seen in the past 2 years what happens when we have Democrats in control of everything. And we've seen in Colorado, we've seen at the federal government, what happens when Democrats are able to use peer pressure to push some of these centrist-leaning Democrats into their agenda and to force them to vote for them. And it's scary. And the power that they can consolidate is very scary. So whatever we can do to limit that power, whatever we can do to forge ahead towards freedom, we need to take, even if it's not the steps you want to take, even though it's not the giant leaps that some of us hope. I mean, you and I both, Kim, we would love to just hit a reset button on the Constitution and say, you know what, let's just start the federal code of regulations over. Just, yeah. You know, wipe it all blank. Let's just start over. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to freedom. But that's not realistic, you know, but we need to keep up the hard fight. We need to work hard to encourage, to persuade, and to really get into these difficult conversations going into the new year with people. And, you know, we all want freedom. We all want to live. We all want to respect life. So let's respect the humanity of fellow people who believe like us. And let's just push each other to be better.
I love it. Happy New Year to you, Alan Thomas. And thanks for being here.
Happy New Year to you and Steve as well.
Okay. And our quote for the end of the day is Emily Dickinson. She said, "One step at a time is all it takes to get you there." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And Happy New Year. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.